Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. And again, Preds fans are unhappy with the Brady Martin pick with the fifth overall pick in the draft. Apparently, the development camp starts today. They hit the ice in less than 30 minutes. Robbie Stanley's going to be there. So tomorrow morning, you'll hear Robbie Stanley probably talk about what he saw at development camp. And Brady Martin will be there on the ice. You know, the old story goes that when the Chicago Bulls made the controversial choice of drafting not a center, but Michael Jordan out of North Carolina with the third overall pick, that Rod Thorn, the general manager, got a call from an assistant coach the day after the first practice who said, congratulations, you didn't mess this pick up. I am hopeful that Robbie Stanley will say tomorrow morning on Robbie and Rex Road, you did not mess this pick up. But that being said, Predator fans were angry like I've never seen it before. I was actually a little surprised. I've seen Titans fans anger on a draft night only to an hour later have changed their mind and said, well, you know, J.C. Latham was picked. I lost my mind. Titan fans were like, Jared, what are we doing? Oh, my God. And then an hour later, well, you know, Bill Callahan says he's the best tackle in the draft. So, you know, I think there's a chance. Uh-huh. Got it. So I went to The Athletic today, because I knew they weren't huge fans of the Predators drafting Brady Martin with the fifth overall pick. But they have their draft grades out. I, by the way, think it's so disingenuous that these prospect writers cover every draft for every sport and nobody ever gets below a C. Ever. You will never see somebody get an F when they just flat out fail the draft. Colorado got the lowest grade. I think they actually got a D. And it's like the Athletic was like, yeah, we don't really like either guy. Which to me, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, well, okay, so then give him an F, but that's just me. But I saw that they were going in descending order, not by name, you know, alphabetical order, but they were actually going by A plus to A to A minus. So with the Predators draft, I had it open on my phone and I just scrolled down thinking, oh yeah, they probably got like a C. Nope. A minus, according to The Athletic, for the Predators draft. I was shocked. Here's what they wrote, quote, I didn't agree with every decision Nashville made this weekend, but overall I thought the Predators brought in a lot of talent to their farm system. Brady Martin at 5 was high for me. I get the appeal. He's a super likable player with a great backstory, but I thought they left talent on the board. Riker, Lee, and Jacob Rombach were a bit early for me, but in fairness, I knew that's the range they were going in based on the talks with other teams, so I may be the one off on them. I did like the ranges they got Cameron Reed and Jack Ivankovic and Alex Wong, though Martin will be a top six forward of the future with elite compete level, I would bet they get at least one other regular from this draft and possibly two, with Reed being the likeliest candidate. I was actually shocked. Again, because the fans would not give the Predators an A minus for their draft. And he's saying a couple regulars will come out of this. And I was thinking about it, watching the other picks, watching the Cameron Reed pick, watching the Riker Lee pick, and I'm like, you know, in a given year, and the draft in the NHL, they try to make it a big deal, but it's really not a big deal because these kids are so far away. It's like the baseball draft. It is a big deal as far as whether or not your team's going to be any good, but as far as getting people interested in it, it's not like the NFL. It's just not. Those guys are 24 years old, and they're going to play right away in the NFL, and these guys are going to Saskatoon for a year. But at the same time, I was a little shocked how The Athletic gave you an A-minus for the whole draft. And again, thinking about Riker, Lee, and Cameron, like, those are first-round picks, too. Like, those guys might actually matter. And again, let's not act like Brady Martin was 18th on the board and they took him at 5. According to the gurus, he was 7 or 8 on the board. Now, again, I wouldn't have taken him at 5. I would have taken Higgins. But I just was a little surprised. And what I was really surprised by was, again, when it comes to the Titan fans, it's like every move the Titans make, even when it's the stupidest move, Like when they fired Rand Carthon, but said, Chad Brinker's still in charge. We're going to get a new GM. Chad's going to be in some made-up position. He's in charge. We're going to get a new GM, and we're going to keep the coach. And after the Titans hired their new general manager who had no experience and did one press conference, Titan fans were like, Mike Borgonzi, he sees the way. He knows what to do. And with the Preds fans, there was no, I mean, no talking anybody off the ledge on Friday night. The way I felt on Friday night was disappointment with the pick of Martin over Higgins and Martone. Not surprised. Because as I said, Jake, back me up on this. As I said on Friday, listening to Scott Wheeler talk about Brady Martin's compete level, I said that just moist Barry Trotz panties.
That is exactly what you said. And I love that you put that out there on Twitter on Friday night after they made the pick.
Well, it's because he did it. Like I said, like, hey, if you know Barry Trotz and you hear that, you know that that's what he, and then he went and did it. I should have known better. I mean, I did predict that they were going to draft Brady Martin. But like 20 minutes after Brady Martin was picked, I mean, I'm reading Twitter and I'm like, guys, like even I don't like this pick, but stop acting like he's some bum. And again, as much as some of these moves are questionable, and I don't really want to see Eric Hall on the team next year either. And this trade today, again, you got a third pair defenseman from Vegas that everybody's sitting there saying, you did what? For $5.5 million, and Aaron Ekblad just re-signed for $6.1 million. But at least the Athletic gave you an A-. You gotta give them that. So we shall see. 615-737-1025 in our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Owen is up next here on our program on the Brady Martin pick. Owen, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, Jared. Unlike most Predators fans, I get it. He's not Higgins. But I am pretty happy with him. You know, you're going to get a workhorse in Brady Martin. He has skill. He has good size. But I think the people getting outraged, unlike the NFL draft, we don't have a lot of film on these guys. These average Predators fans, they're not going to be watching the film like they do with college players. So we can't initially write them off and say they suck. Most people probably have never watched Brady Martin's film. So I just wanted to know what your – forgetting the Hagen stuff, what is your pure analysis in Hagen Martin, and do you think he'll be a good guy? Thanks.
Yeah, I will say this. This is what I want to get to next, which is the reason why I think Barry Trotz did this. Like, big picture, the reason why, what I think he envisions. I do want to hit this. 615-737-1025, and then we'll hit your phones. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 through the game.
On Martin is part of maybe why you wanted him, the level, the speed at which maybe he could be at the NHL level, is that part of it, or are you not worried about that?
No, not really. But I can tell you, he's one of those players that you're gonna come at training camp and you're gonna go, this kid's not coming here just for training camp and development camp. He's coming here to take someone's spot, and he's very capable of it. I just believe that. Probably, you know, we'll let it play out, but knowing his mentality, just watching him in the short time that we got to see him, and everything that the scouting staff has said about him, and like he'll push people out of a job if they're not careful. That's just, I think his mentality is that he comes and brings it every night and practice and in games, and you got to be aware.
Again, what did I say on Friday, Jake?
You said that's Barry Trotz guy.
Now, what did I say, Jake?
It makes his panties moist. Was that what you said?
It wets it. Brady Martin, we played a cut from Scott Wheeler. Can we get that cut from Scott Wheeler? The one before the draft. Scott Wheeler said this about Brady Martin on the midday show on Wednesday. I played this cut on Friday and said, if you don't know Barry Trotz, I'm telling you, this wets his panties.
And then there was another name that I'll add to the list that I heard after my mock draft dropped yesterday, and that's Brady Martin's name. And Brady is really in that mix from 4 to 7, an ultra competitor who would fit with Zachary LaRue and some of the other players that the Predators have drafted and brought into the organization in recent years. But Martin maybe doesn't have the high-end skill or the high-end point production projectability that a player like Porter Martone or James Higgins has. But what Brady Martin does have is sort of the motor that never stops, the most physical player in the draft, the most competitive player in the draft, the fiercest competitor in the draft. Use whatever cliche you want. That's sort of Brady Martin's identity.
Okay. And then Trotz took him, and then Trotz said the exact same thing. So the caller in the last segment said, Jared, forget about, you know, watching a highlight here, the fans that are going crazy there, you know. What do you think? I believe Barry Trotz thinks he just drafted his next captain. Roman Josi's contract is up in 2028, 2029. So in the spring of 2028, Roman Josi's contract will be up. I believe Barry Trotz believes at that point Brady Martin will be wearing the C for the Nashville Predators. And that level of compete that Brady Martin has as the first-line center of the Predators, and I think he expects David Edstrom to slot in behind as the second-line center, and I think he probably expects Matthew Wood to be up on the first line and Joakim Kimmel to be up on the second line or something like that, and that he envisions that everybody will pick it up because Brady Martin, as the captain, will get them to pick it up. Now, I don't know if Brady Martin. So this idea that at 17, 18 years old, I can tell you what his personality is like would be ridiculous. But I do wonder, forget about the physical stuff and the fact that he finishes his checks. I can get that in the fourth round. But can he get all the other guys to be as competitive as him? Because if he can do that, then that leader that we're talking about, that does matter now. You know, I was thinking about this today in terms of quarterbacks. And when it comes to quarterbacks, we all want the guy that can sling it. We all want the guy who's accurate. We all want the guy who's athletic. And we understand that a guy like Mahomes or Josh Allen has a special talent. But what about the guy like Joe Burrow? Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence were not considered similar talents coming out. Trevor Lawrence was considered a special talent. But Joe Burrow, like Barry Trotz, Joe Burrow's got that it factor. So that's what I think Barry Trotz thinks he's getting, is that it factor. Which, again, is it's amazing to me how Predator fans hear a Barry Trotz cut about talking about, you know, oh, this kid, he's got the it factor. He's the most competitive player in the draft and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's the things you guys love about Cam Ward. I mean, somebody says, Cam Ward shows up at 5 in the morning. They're telling you the same thing about the guy they picked. It's like, no, Trotz, he sucks. Which, again, I was upset that they picked him, too. Make no mistake about it. But it's crazy how Preds fans cannot get won over by this the way the Titans fans could have gotten won over on it. But, again, the texter or the caller said, what do you think Barry Trotz thinks? What do you say? I think Barry Trotz thinks he just drafted his next captain. And then he's like, hey, if I'm going to build this thing, I'm building it around this captain. Which I find admirable. But at the same time, this team needs talent. When Scott Wheeler says, well, he doesn't have the high-end point production that James Higgins or Porter Martone have, that's a problem. I need the high-end point production that James Higgins or Porter Martone have. You're not getting high-end point production from Zachary LaRue or from Fedor Svechkov. Fedor Svechkov had 17 points in 50 games last year. You're not getting high point production from him. So, I'm going to need it from Brady Martin. And that's why I would have gone with the guys that probably offer up higher point production. 615-737-1025, Dylan in Antioch is up next here on our program. If you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025, Dylan, go ahead.
Hey, Jared. Yeah, I just want to say I went to the draft party at Bridgestone. They did a great job. And when they drafted Brady Martin, it was kind of a collective, like, it was like, what? You know, it wasn't shock or disbelief, just kind of no one really knew what to make of it. I think this kind of referendum on Barry Trotz is jamming so far, because if Porter Martone James Higgins goes off, I mean, I don't know if he's going to live it down. And I think this may give Trotz a little more time, because this guy kind of seems more like a work in progress. So I think this may give Trotz a little more grace with the fans, because he has all those intangibles, which are awesome. But the skill is something this team has just never done. And this whole Nick Hague thing, I don't know what to make of it. And okay, so this right hand versus left hand defenseman, I'll just ask a question. This may be a stupid question. So does that mean, is his left hand at the back of the stick or the right hand at the back of the stick? Like, is it a lefty like swinging the bat, or like how does that work? Because I've been trying to figure that out. And,
so if you're right-handed, you're typically a left shot.
Okay, so a left
shot.
That
makes sense.
That means you're right.
Here's the way I'll put it to you. Right shots are harder to find than left shots, and the Predators have about 9 left-shot defensemen. And I appreciate your call, Dylan. And I would argue one potentially good right shot defenseman, and that's Andrew Gibson. I mean, and we don't even know if Andrew Gibson's any good. Again, this is the problem with how Barry Trotz views things versus how everybody else views it. When it comes to Andrew Gibson, Trotz views him, I believe Trotz views down the road. And who knows if Trotz will be calling the shots when it comes time for this. But I believe that Trotz views, just like he views Brady Martin as his first line center and his team captain, I think he views Tanner Mullendyke as his top pair left shot defenseman and Andrew Gibson as his top pair right shot defenseman. Gibson is the only guy in the pipeline that is any good that is a right shot. I'm sorry, but Nick Blankenberg stinks. And Justin Barron, who's a right shot defenseman and a former first round pick, he was even worse last year. He was the worst player on the team last year. I mean, if I never watch him play a hockey game again, I'll never be upset about it. That's all they have. So they're going to have to move some guys over. Like Roman Josi's going to have to move over to the right side, which I've talked to some people in the league who say Roman Josi can play the right side, but he is an elite player when he's playing at the left side. Make of that what you will. Let's go to William, who's up next here on the program. William, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. You go ahead.
This is pretty obvious what happened. I mean, James Higgins last year was picked to go number one overall. He didn't go. Philadelphia didn't pick him. He was a follower, and we picked a riser. I mean, it's pretty obvious. We avoided. If we had picked James Higgins, we'd have picked a shorter Cody Glass. This guy is like cardboard vanilla.
What makes you say that, though? I mean, like, again, I actually ran through his college stats, to your point. I ran through his college stats, and while they weren't as good as, say, Jack Eichel's college stats, and they weren't as good as Macklin Celebrini's college stats, I mean, they do somewhat, I mean.
He played on a line with two former first-round picks from the year before. And he still just barely produced like that?
Barely produced? He was a point-per-game guy.
Contact. Man, who gets to play with two former first-round picks just a year before? I mean, come on, it was a blessing, and you still just do that?
Again, Matt Boldy at Boston College, Matt Boldy had 26 points in 34 games. Higgins was 37 points in 37 games.
Hey, I'm just telling you, man, the dude, I'm tired of the Cody Glass types that avoid contact and that may do score a goal. They start crying. Like, dude, act like you've been there before. Why's this dude crying? It's hockey. You scored a goal, and he's, oh, the waterworks. Like, get out of here, man, with this soft stuff.
When did he cry?
Hey, if we want to pick them, Philadelphia or Boston would have picked Martin.
Now, I agree with that. So that is one thing I absolutely agree with. William, I appreciate your call. That I agree with because I believe, and I know Martone went with the next pick. I believe that if the Predators, and this is just a gut feeling, I believe that if the Predators had made the pick of James Higgins, then Brady Martin would have been at 6 to Philadelphia, that they would have taken Martin over Martone. I don't know why I feel that way. You know, Keith Jones is their general manager up there. He's kind of an old school guy. I think they would have taken, this is me, Brady Martin. And Brady Martin definitely would have been gone by the 8th pick. I mean, by the 7th pick. Because once you got into that other group of Jake O'Brien and McQueen, and once you got to that group, that was kind of a different trough of players. You know, like Brian Burke says. Gosh, there was this one text into the text line that I wanted to read because I thought it was so funny. And yet I got too busy looking at other texts and I lost it. This one guy was all mad at The Athletic and said that he was never going to support the Predators ever again. And I wish I could find it. One texter into the text line says, the Predators took a Mike Fisher over a guy worth more, over a guy who was more of a scoring threat. That comes from Joey in Bellevue, who says, that's why Vegas competes for the Cup and Nashville is light years away. You always talk about good run franchises taking advantage of the bad ones. Well, that's what's just happened with the Predators. Adam Vingan sent me a tweet that was like, okay, now that Aaron Ekblad is re-signed in Florida, who's going to be the team that bails the Panthers out of the cap and allows them to re-sign Brad Marchand? And that guy replied, goes, what am I doing? Of course it's going to be Barry Trotz. If that happens, I'm going to lose. I'm going to go nuts. Because it does feel like that's what's happening. Neil says, Preds fans want their cake and eat it too. Overall, the fans don't know hockey players. I mean, again, this wasn't something where even the guys in The Athletic are saying, yeah, I would have taken the other guys before I took this guy. And these are guys that do know the players. Lauren says, if the Predators didn't need elite forwards, then it would have been a good draft. But they need two forwards better than their current best forwards. And this is a C, as far as I'm concerned, because of their first pick. I mean, to me, I kind of think this draft's going to be defined by the first pick. I mean, think about it. You know, Ryker Lee could be a 100-point winger, so maybe add him in there. But no matter how good your defenseman is, he's never going to carry a whole draft. And the same with the goalie. It's all about, in this sport, it's all about scoring goals. It's all about wingers. And really, it's all about first-line centers, too. So the way I view it is, this is a success if Brady Martin ends up becoming a Selke finalist on a consistent basis. Your team captain, your number one center, and a Selke finalist. Again, not next year, but probably by year three or four, I need some Selkies. I need some votes, at least. 615-737-1025. More of your phones on the program. Boy, a lot of people are all fired up. 615-737-1025. Something that I would not have been okay with as far as the first round was concerned, I'm actually not that upset with. In the second round, I'll explain. We'll get to it next. Stoneman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game. Craving something fresh and flavorful? Tzatziki's has you covered, from juicy chicken kebabs to perfectly grilled salmon. Every bite is bursting with Mediterranean goodness, and don't even get us started on the homemade sauces and dressing. I will say this, I do back that. I love Tzatziki's. I haven't been there in a little bit, but I absolutely love Tzatziki's. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. In fact, you might have to have Tzatziki's tonight. It just kind of hit me just doing that read that I may end up having that opinion. So there's one thing I want to get across here as far as the Predators and the draft was concerned. The goalie. So the Predators had a bunch of second-round picks. Again, I don't think second-round picks are not nothing. Shea Weber was a second-round pick. Roman Josi was a second-round pick. And I believe that when you get to the second round, just take what's the best available, the one that your gut tells you, like, hey, you really like that guy. Probably couldn't convince yourself or other people that you should take him in the first round, but take him in the second round. So they took the goalie. And I don't know anything about the goalie, but I'm okay with that. ESPN, when it came to the second first-round pick the Predators had on Friday night, everybody around the table was like, do you think they'll go goalie here? Yeah, I think they'll go goalie here. What do you think? Do you think they'll go goalie? Yeah, I think they might go goalie. What do you think here? Should they go goalie here? And I'm like, no! You're not using a first-round pick on a goalie when that goalie is going to want to play in the NHL in 3 or 4 years, when, again, you just committed to a goalie for the next 8 years. But I don't have a problem with it in the second round, because the second round is not the first round. That's the most important thing. The second thing is this. If UC Saros is what I think he is, not what Barry Trotz and not what the Predators and not what Willie and Chris Mason think, with all due respect, not what they all think, that Saros is some sort of Pecorine 2.0 who just hasn't had the support in front of him. But if you gave Saros that support, he could win you the cup. They think that. I don't. If Saros is bad or is average or below average or whatever it ends up being, if that's the case, That's going to put the organization in a tough spot. Paying a goalie $7.5 million, or really $7.75 million every year. How do you get out of it? You have a rookie goalie that in 3 years pops. So you could still pay Saros his money, but you got this young goalie coming up behind him. So it'll probably take 3 or 4 years. Knowing Trotz, he'll be super patient with the goalie. He's not going to be patient, it doesn't sound like, with Brady Martin. But knowing Trotz, he'll be super patient with the young goalie, and I don't have a problem with the goalie in the second round. The first round, that would have been an issue. Craig says, would you have taken Higgins because he was the best player available, or would you have taken Higgins because he was the only prospect you knew? I would have taken Higgins. I'm just curious for you. I mean, again, I understand that I'm not Robbie. I'm not Adam Vingan. I'm not Pierre LeBron. I'm not one of these hockey insiders. I get it. But I'm also not some moron either. Like, to sit there and say, like, oh, well, it was James Higgins, the only guy you knew, so that's who you thought they should take? I predicted they were going to take Brady Martin. And the reason I predicted they were going to take Brady Martin is why, Jake?
Because it's Barry Trotz' guy. You made me say it once. I don't think you're going to get me to say it again.
Because his competitiveness wets Barry Trotz's panties. That's what I said on Friday. Again, before the draft, that's what I said. And they took him, and right afterwards, all Barry Trotz could do is talk about his competitiveness. So don't give me the, oh, well, you know, you're the only one that knows Higgins because, you know, I told you, I thought they were going to pick this guy. I said they were going to pick him. Now, I thought that was because Higgins was going to go before him. I thought if Higgins was there, then I thought they would have taken Higgins. But again, my prediction at the end of the show was that they were going to take Brady Martin. One texter into the text line says, this roster and draft screams Gavin McKenna. I believe Gavin McKenna is the first overall pick in next year's draft. Is he Connor Bedard's cousin? So I went to the Predators Maple Leafs game with a bunch of Lindsay's Canadian friends. Not to get here and not to be too specific into my own life, but we had decided to give our nephews, who are big hockey fans, we were going to give them tickets for the Preds and the Leafs, and we were going to go to the game when they played here because Leafs tickets in Toronto are like, you know, I don't want to say Taylor Swift tickets, but they're like Beyonce tickets in Toronto. So the Leafs are playing here. We got tickets for the game. So I say, hey, you know, for Christmas, how about we go to the Preds Leafs game? What I didn't know was that when that happened, they had a family trip planned, so they couldn't come anyways. So it ended up being a bunch of Lindsay's Canadian friends and I who went to the game. And one of her friends' husbands is like a huge hockey guy. So I didn't even really know this guy. In fact, I didn't know this guy at all until he showed up at my house and we were all going to the game together. Because again, this is my girlfriend's friend's husband. You've all been there before. You all know what I'm talking about. Jake, I'm not sure if you've been there before, but you will soon enough.
I've been there before.
Okay.
The double dates.
So I don't really know this guy. And it's a group of us or whatever. And I run into Hal Gill at the game. And so I'm talking to Hal for a little bit, whatever, just shooting the breeze with Hal. And this guy, who again, I know he's Canadian, but I don't really know anything about him. He's like, hey, saw you over there chatting up Hal Gill. And I was like, do you know Hal Gill? Like, if you know who Hal Gill is, you must be a hockey guy. No disrespect to Hal. You must be a hockey guy if you know who Hal Gill is. And so then throughout the night, I realized, hey, this guy, he freaking knows hockey. It's like sitting next to a Canadian Robbie Stanley, just watching the game. And he told me about Connor Bedard's cousin. And he said that next year, so I'm guessing this is Bedard's cousin. I don't know, a simple Google search could tell me. I'm guessing that this Gavin McKenna is Connor Bedard's cousin. I am not against, if you promised me that you'd get the number one pick in the draft and that this guy is the real deal, this Gavin McKenna, I would sacrifice next year. The problem is with the lottery system, which I'm not against, but with the lottery system, there's no guarantee that even if you have a year that is worse than last year, there is absolutely no guarantee that you're going to get that first pick. And then on top of it, if you are that bad, it probably means that Brady Martin sucks or doesn't play in the NHL. And I think the way Trotz is talking about it, I think Brady Martin is going to play in the NHL. And so that's not good. And then you're stuck with all these contracts. And if you lose next year, you're not moving any of these guys. And that includes Haig, who you added today, who you gave $5.5 million to, who Robbie and Adam think stink. And who I've never heard of, and the rule is if I've never heard of you, then you stink. Joel says, Robbie and Retro had mentioned that Trotz was trying to move back up to take Roger McQueen. So you could have had McQueen as the potential 1C and Martin as the 2C, and then Anaheim picked McQueen. Let me say this. If you viewed McQueen as your 1C, then you take him with the, and you view Martin as your 2C, then you take McQueen at 5. I will say this. So I don't think that's what he viewed it as. I think he wanted to really take a shot on Roger McQueen, and I get it. That said, I absolutely believe. When I saw that E.J. Raddick interview on the NHL Network on Saturday, you know, during the latter parts of the draft, where he was like, I was on the phone and I thought I had a deal, but then he got drafted. I was like, that's McQueen. He's talking about McQueen. That's what he's talking about. 615-737-1025. More phones. 615-737-1025 here on the program. Plus, there's just something I have to get off my chest about the draft as a whole. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063. The game this September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinix Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Let me say this, man. As somebody who had a kid at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown, as somebody that knows, you know, all about how they do things there, get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org as Tim McGraw will be performing, again, at Trinix Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting the newborns and the moms at the Ascension St. Thomas Midtown.
Let's go to the draft house.
Mace, what's up?
How's it going, Mike?
Good. Well, congrats, man.
Thank you very much.
Super happy to have you. Welcome. You know, we went through this process. You had an
NHL Draft House as the Bruins get their guy as Sam Neely and Don Sweeney.
To follow when Happy Gilmore welcomes your player to the organization, but why don't you guys say hello to James Hagans?
Thank you for picking me.
I think we might have some technical difficulties, but... Awesome.
Go ahead, Bucci, sorry.
Draft House time.
About this choice and the newest member of the organization. Maybe having a little technical difficulties over there in Ottawa. How are you feeling right now? What was going through your mind as you made the walk up to the stage?
What a freaking clown show was that NHL draft on Friday night. I am somebody who likes the NHL. I am somebody who, again, I get why the NHL Stanley Cup ratings were down so low. It's a Canadian team and Florida, there's no buzz. Nobody cares about the Florida Panthers. It's not like the Rangers or anything like that. And I'm still ashamed that the ratings were as low as they were because I love the NHL. I do. I love hockey. Now, do I love it as much as Claude in Montreal? No, I don't. But I like hockey. And I want hockey to do well. I want more people to be hockey fans. I want to be able to talk hockey on Mad Dog Radio on Sirius XM, which during the Four Nations Faceoff I was able to do. And I had Kenny Albert on the show, you know, at one point. But it still was kind of like, So Friday night, obviously my focus was on the Predators and who they were going to pick. And all the other stuff was just, window dressing, and it could have been the best draft. And it wouldn't have mattered to me one way or another, and I wouldn't be sitting here today saying, wow, what a great presentation by the NHL to resurrect Johann Sebastian Bach and have him play as the players walked up to the stage or anything like that. But we got to talk about how much of a freaking clown show that draft was on Friday night. And don't give me this talk about the decentralized draft. You know, the way it used to be is all the general managers, all the coaches, all the scouts, each team has this massive table. It's like the dinner table at the Corleone household. And there's 32 of these in the middle of the arena. And then fans just sit there in the stands, including players, who then walk out and go up to the stage when they get drafted. And I don't like the fact that they bring everybody from the table up there to make the pick. I would just prefer, if you're going to do that, just bring one guy up there. And then they always say something like, we want to give a shout out to the Florida Panthers, and we want to thank all of our fans that are watching back home in St. Louis, and we want to thank the Blues Memorial such and such, and we want to thank our assistant general manager and our scouts and our coaches just to make the pick. So this time, everybody was at home. This is a one-off. Next year, I'll be back to the way it was. But instead of having the whole organization go up and make the pick because the whole organization was at home, Gary Bettman goes up to the podium. And instead of Gary Bettman making the pick, Gary Bettman turns to the screen and we bring in Johnny Joe on Zoom to make the pick. Shea Weber on a golf course. Like, oh, I'm sorry. When I heard that they were bringing Shea Weber, I thought what that meant was Shea Weber was going to walk up to the podium and make the pick. Not Shea Weber was going to zoom in with his AirPods in. And then that freaking draft house where the woman leads the player up to the screen to talk to the team that just drafted him. Like, dude, don't you think that's kind of a private thing? Hey, man, we just drafted you with the 4th overall pick. We believe in you, but hey, the work starts now, blah, blah, blah. Instead, we're going to have this be public? That was so stupid. And it really cheapens the product. Like, I said this on Twitter, and I mean it. Somebody should be fired for how bad the presentation of the NHL draft was Friday night. Because it cheapens the sport when you have a draft like that. And here's what I cannot get over. First of all, I saw people saying, hey, this isn't the NHL's fault. It's the team's fault. The teams voted 26-6 to have a decentralized draft. Well, all the other sports have decentralized drafts too, and they don't seem to have these massive clown shows that the NHL had the other day. The second thing was, when it comes to the drafts and the picks and everything else, why can't Bettman just announce the picks? With the 5th pick in the draft, the Nashville Predators select from Saskatoon, Brady Martin. And here comes, although Brady is not here to accept this award on his behalf, will be me. But why can't Bettman just announce the picks? And they had some really lame celebrities up there. I mean, like, why is George Kittle? I got to say, and I mean this with all due respect, and I know this is going to, this might piss people off. That's fine. I'm just telling you. Couldn't get a Titan? Like, I know George Kittle and Philip Forsberg are friends. I get it. And I know George Kittle's a big deal. I get it. And I know George Kittle lives here. I get it. But we in Nashville, we root for the Titans. We don't root for the 49ers. And then Jordan Davis got up there. And again, I couldn't pick out Jordan Davis from a jar of Vicks. And that has nothing to do with Jordan Davis, but that has everything to do with how much little music I listen to. And yet, when he got up there and said, you know, help and bring the cup back to Smashville, I thought, we've never won the cup here in Smashville, so it may be hard to bring it back. So, again, that's my gripe with the presentation Friday night. I thought it was a freaking clown show. That draft house was so embarrassing. What a clown show. 615-737-1025 here on the program. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. One texter says, after hearing what a, this is Justin, after hearing what a ridiculous circus it was, I'm glad I was listening to the coverage on 1025 instead of bothering to watch that nonsense. I have to say this. I think I can say this, and I mean this with all due respect. Jake, is all due respect noted?
We got it back here.
Okay. So, first of all, my son, anytime he's in the car, and I don't want to brag because I've got a friend who's got a newborn who, as soon as he's in the back of the car, just starts wailing. My son's really not like that. Once he's in the back of the car, he usually falls asleep pretty much every time. And let me knock on wood because we want to keep it that way. But I was driving home and I was listening to our coverage and they had Brooks Bratton on. And I love Brooks, but they had Brooks Bratton on. And so when I got home, I took a picture of my son dead ass asleep in his car seat. And I sent it to Brooks's brother-in-law and I said, hey, Brooksy just putting the kids to sleep over here. And I hope that message got through to Brooks. That said, I did enjoy our coverage. I did enjoy our coverage, and I did fire off an angry tweet on Friday night that I don't regret, but I did enjoy it. And it was the ESPN coverage. Not only, by the way, I left something out of me complaining about the draft and the draft house and the process and the presentation and everything else. ESPN's commentary on the draft Friday night. Like, Jake, were you back here listening to our coverage, or were you watching ESPN?
No, I was watching on ESPN. It
was
not good.
Their commentary was awful. Like, Weeks and Kaplan and the other woman and Buchagross, like, it was so disjointed. They didn't really talk about the teams. They didn't really, like, I don't need, like, Weeks up there or Kaplan up there if they're not going to know anything about these teams. Like, get people who know what they're talking about up there. Now, I don't watch a lot of ESPN's football draft coverage because we're doing our own draft show, and I'm not necessarily interested in what Booger McFarland has to say anyways, but I thought that the commentary on the broadcast on Friday night, I thought that was awful. The other thing I will say, when it comes to the picks, and maybe they did try and they couldn't get it, so maybe I'm speaking out of church here. Wouldn't it have been cool if Cam Ward made one of the picks? Like, if the Predators had Cam Ward, although he didn't play for the Predators, but, you know, something like that. I think it would have been better than Kittle. That's just me. 615-737-1025 here on our program, 615-737-1025. So I think that I would not have picked Brady Martin with the fifth overall pick in the draft. And a lot of the moves Barry Trotz has been making lately, when you add them all up, have me saying, what is going on around here? It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But there is one thing that I absolutely have to push back on. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.